This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. NPR's Ivan Watson has left Iraq. He was there for about a month, and it was his sixth extended tour in the country since the start of the war. Our correspondents regularly rotate in and out of Iraq, and they sometimes stop to give their impressions. Ivan is now on a satellite phone at his home in Istanbul, Turkey. Hi, Ivan.
Hello, Steve.
How did it feel to leave the country this time?
Every time, it's really like a weight lifting off your shoulders. You kind of breathe deep, and you can't believe you're not hearing awful sounds of war, whether it's helicopters or explosions or whatever. It just feels great.
You covered much of the fighting in Najaf in the past month. We could often hear gunshots in the background and explosions as you were talking. How did you cover that story? Were you embedded with the U.S. military? Were you on your own or what?
I embedded with the U.S. military for about a week with the Marines and saw it from their angle. And then we had a very intrepid interpreter who's from Najaf and who had basically mapped out the battleground in his own walks around there. We relied on a mechanic whose house we set up in. He had a high roof about three stories up that we could see some of the fighting from. And these two would walk with me, and we would wear flak jackets and walk through these streets. And also, we could not safely move more than a few blocks at a time because the fighting was so intense.
Ivan, those people who know you know that you're not likely to pass easily for an Iraqi since you're blonde and light-skinned. How did people respond to you?
Actually, quite well. In Baghdad, we were more cautious than ever. I dyed my hair brown. The shade, the official name for the dye that we used, is hot chocolate. So I am now of a cocoa color. I grew out a beard. However, in Najaf, most of the population had fled. The people who were left behind were very hospitable. You'd have bullets flying past in the streets outside their house, explosions shaking the building, and they'd invite you in for tea, even though they didn't have electricity or ready access to fresh food or water, for that matter. So I felt very welcome there in a way that I don't feel in Baghdad, where I have to watch over my shoulder, not for flying bullets, but more for kidnapping or just attacks from insurgents who are seeking foreign targets.
Now, at the end of the fighting in the city of Najaf, you were able to walk into the shrine, this golden-domed shrine that had been at the center of the conflict the whole time. How did you manage that, and what was that like?
We first walked in minutes after a ceasefire was declared with the U.S. military, and we walked in and we were met by scores of heavily armed, really fierce-looking militiamen who were wrapped in green headbands and wearing this kind of paramilitary makeshift uniforms. This militia had some relations with journalists. They had their own propagandistic message to put out, and they were eager to get it out. So I was tolerated there. And it was very emotional because I figured out that basically a year beforehand, August of 2003, there'd been a massive car bombing at that same shrine. And I had witnessed that, and we spoke to you on that day. So all of this destruction and all of this loss of life around this very holy place that does radiate a sense of inner peace when you're inside its courtyard, to experience that all in the space of 1 year, very conflicted emotions. It's just very strange, Steve.
Ivan, having seen all this, what do you think you learned about the nature of urban combat in this country at this time?
Well, one of the lessons here was that a couple hundred, 1,000 gunmen could take a whole city hostage. Second, when the urban combat, the U.S. military can destroy any military force that tries to meet it on a battlefield, but they will destroy everything around it as well. There were tanks blasting in the streets here, American airstrikes. And yet, these fighters, not terribly well trained, managed to hold out against the U.S. military. They took frightening numbers of casualties. But they were able to hold out. And this urban conflict, it's a terrifying thing. I've never seen it up close like this. I've seen it from a distance. And in the meantime, the civilians are still there. They can't flee the area in the same way. There are people that are wheelchair-bound, that are impoverished. They have no place else to go. And they're caught in the middle. It is truly, truly a nightmare.
We've been talking to NPR's Ivan Watson, who has just finished another month covering Iraq for NPR. He's now in Istanbul. Ivan, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Steve.